CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State, discussing not war, not peace, a quote from John Foster Dulles' book from 1950 at the beginning of the Cold War with Russia and eventually with the People's Republic of China. The paragraph, when the world thermometer registers not war, not peace, it is hard to decide whether to follow military judgments or political judgments. No more clear-cut demonstration of that is Ukraine. The headline in the Wall Street Journal, Senate passes $95.3 billion Ukraine-Israel aid package. Bill's fate in House is uncertain. Mary, right now Ukraine is planning to beg for money, I believe. That's what the tour Mr. Zelensky is about to make. Looking for resources to sustain his resistance to the Russian offensive, which is recently relaunched. But we'll focus on the U.S. Right now, the Ukraine aid, as I understand it, is not going to be passed by the House of Representatives. What do we need to know about why Washington is resisting sustaining Ukraine's resistance?
Well, John, the Ukraine aid issue has become wrapped up in domestic politics in the United States, specifically with border security. Now, these are two very different things. They can be tackled at once. But I think because the Biden administration has not made clear what our goal is in Ukraine, it has opened the door to his political opponents to accuse him of wasting U.S. money. And so we're in this terrible position where the Democratic Party is positioning itself as the party of right and good, defending democracy without actually giving Ukraine what it needs to win. They're just giving Kyiv enough to sustain the fight to a stalemate and risking the idea that Russia could actually break through and win this year. And then on the other side, you have the Republican Party, which is split between those who want Ukraine to win because they understand that it's not just a Russia-Ukraine fight. It's actually a free world fight versus an unfree world block of Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. And it's become wrapped up in border security. So last week, there was a really embarrassing vote where Senate Republicans killed an attempt to, which included Ukraine aid, because they wanted more on border security. And subsequently, they watched the reaction in the public arena and among their base, and they decided to move it forward. But it's unclear what's going to happen in the House. Of course, the ideal scenario would be for the House and the Senate to vote on these issues separately because they have different concerns, right? One is essentially a policing operation to secure the southern border, which has been done in the past, never perfectly. And to talk about ways to have a permanent solution, which would be to, actually examine the legal immigration system and decide to streamline that and make it easier for people to apply legally to reduce the incentive to come in illegally. And the other, in Ukraine, is an issue of U.S. national security, which has entirely different considerations. But I do think that the debate has really played out in an untruthful fashion. I received a note from a client recently saying, can we really afford this Ukraine aid? Why are we wasting money over there? Well, if you care about U.S. deficits, the issue is not Ukraine aid. And by the way, there isn't really a price to U.S. national security. You have to defend our interests. The issue is entitlements, things like Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, food stamps, all of that stuff. So it's just not a very truthful debate. It's unfortunate because these are all extremely important issues that we need to face as a nation, and we need to unpack them and deal with them one by one. But that's just not how the politics are playing in Washington.
Yes, but the puzzle, Mary, is Washington thinking what happens if Ukraine surrenders in some fashion? I understand they will never ultimately surrender. There'll always be resistance, but something on the battlefield that looks like victory for Russia, are the political voices thinking through that?
I mean, I guess you could say, to their credit, the Biden administration has given Ukraine enough weaponry and intel not to allow Putin to win. But The answer to that is not to pull funding and let him win. The answer is to give Ukraine enough to win the war. And are they thinking through the implications? Yes, I'm sure people on both sides are. But that's really not the issue here. The issue is that the U.S. president, the commander-in-chief, has not committed to help Kyiv win. And Republicans see it in their to their political advantage to take the opposite stance. And so it's a terrible circumstance. The Europeans have ponied up an enormous amount of money to keep the Ukraine government running, to pay pensions, to pay government salaries, to give them financial aid, in fact. But they simply don't have the military industrial complex and the supplies and the infrastructure to give them what they need militarily. And so Ukraine is building its own defense industrial complex, but they can't do that overnight. And in the meantime, that's why U.S. aid is so important, because if we don't keep sending the tanks and the planes and the ammo and all the rest, they could lose. And that's the situation we face today.
The Chinese miracle is no more. The economy is in disrepair. It is not clear that the Chinese Communist Party has a remedy. But at the same time, an article in the Wall Street Journal identifies the tragedy that is the People's Republic of China. The decision for the one-child policy to be enforced, made in the late 20th century, 1980, has led, according to a Wall Street Journal article, doom, that the population that is now 1.3, 1.4 billion, by the end of this century, will be under 600 million, possibly under 500 million. Mary, this is a tragedy that will play out over the course of your life. Is there anything positive we can say for this? I understand the Chinese Communist Party did this, but what about the Chinese people? They're going to suffer it.
Yes, that's true. And with respect to the Wall Street Journal, who I used to work for, I think that was a very strange article. The point wasn't that a totalitarian leader took the wrong guy's advice. The point is that the Chinese Communist Party does not view human beings as an asset. They view individual people as part of a collective that should be used and manipulated and sometimes killed to promote the party's interests.
30 seconds, Mary.
China has engaged in forced sterilizations. They continue to do that to this day. They do not respect human rights. And by the way, this is a practice that democracies have engaged in too. Recall Indira Gandhi in the late 70s, 75 to 77, where more than 6 million Indian men were sterilized to the cheers of technocrats in the United States and at the United Nations. It's a tragedy. Human beings are not a liability. They are an asset. And the problem is not the miscalculations of the party. The problem is the communist system that the Chinese people are forced to live under.
Mary Kissel, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.